Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no education value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's the White Riot Show. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So, turn up the volume, clean the shit out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
All right, you're listening to the White Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larry M.
Welcoming you once again to the show that's all about the latest and greatest happenings in the world, approached with a sense of humor, we hope, and lots of truth.
That's the name of the game here at the White Riot Show.
Absolutely. Truth, justice, and the American way. And if Superman tries to sue us, well, that's his fucking problem.
We'll kick some kryptonite up his ass.
That's right.
Let's do the pimping, because you know how much I look forward to it.
Pimping is number one when it comes to the White Riot Show. And right now, Judo Larium, let's tell everyone that we're blowing it up everywhere. Not only are people listening to the show, they're following us on social media like wildfire. Go to facebook.com/White Riot Show. Go to twitter.com/White Riot Show. Go to youtube.com/White Riot Show. Are you getting the pattern here, Judo Larry M?
It is a pattern of continuing success.
There you go. Everything's White Riot Show. You could also go to Stitcher.com, search for White Riot Show. You can also go to iTunes, look for the White Riot Show. You'll find us there. And Judo Larry M, continuing this incredible, like, ridiculous streak where really serious people are following the riot.
Yeah, well, actual credible people are following the White Riot Show. I love it. Welcome aboard.
That's right. We've got respected columnists from Forbes magazine now following us on Twitter and listening to the riot. There's the Capitol Hill Daily newspaper that's following the riot, keeping tabs on us. Of course, we've got various newspapers around the country. This is unbelievable.
It is the best thing that has ever happened because the White Riot Show tells it like it is.
It is. We tell it like it is. And you know what we say? If you don't like what the White Riot has to say, you know what we tell them?
Go fuck yourself.
Well, yes, we always say go fuck yourself. You're absolutely right. But if people don't like what they hear, we also tell them blame the First Amendment.
Blame the First Amendment or change the channel.
It's our fucking birthright. That's what it is.
That's it.
I'm not giving it up.
These left-wing idiots recently have been talking about doing away with the Constitution.
Fuck them in the ass.
How about this? Let's do away with left-wing idiots.
That's right. Fuck them twice in the ears.
All those left-wing professors and academia that they think this.
Yes.
And we should just wing it as we go. Oh,
well, that's just the hot thing right now, right? It's always just blaming the U.S., blaming the Constitution. Yeah. Things that have worked for 200 years, no good. Let's blow it all up. Why? Because we're not feeding enough people. We're bullying too many people. And America's just plain bad, Judah Larry.
Yeah, they don't like capitalism. They don't like democracy. They don't like Western history.
Well, fuck them in the ear.
Oh, they're losers.
They're horrible. But yeah, so even though our Second Amendment rights are being infringed upon as we speak, there's a gun grab going on between Mayor Bloomberg, Governor Cuomo, President Obama, Vice President Biden, Senator Feinstein. They're all after our guns, Judah Larry M., because, of course, why do you need a semi-automatic rifle to go deer hunting?
Yeah. You knew this was going to pick up after those unfortunate events like Sandy Hook and everything. But, you know, yeah. I mean, it shows you also how cynical they are. I mean, look, if they really believe this, why don't they bring this up like at other times? Like, for instance, Obama's been in there since 2008. I haven't heard him talk about it until like after a tragedy.
Right.
That's what makes it bullshit.
Right. Of course
that's what makes
bullshit.
It bullshit. Like, if you really believe this. I don't know how many people remember this. When he first got into office, him, that idiot Holder, and Pelosi tried to prosecute the CIA.
Oh, yeah.
Remember they wanted to prosecute them for the things they did during the Bush years?
Allegedly.
Like, for instance, even though that's completely stupid, I know that that's actually something they really believe in. He got into office, and they tried to jumpstart with that.
Right.
You know, like, if you're waiting to 2013, you've been in office since 2008, 2009, and now you finally, we got to talk about guns?
That's
please.
It's really not a priority if that's what you're doing.
They don't care.
That's for damn sure.
They don't care.
But anyway, so they are taking away our Second Amendment rights. But guess what, bitches? The First Amendment ain't going anywhere as far as I'm concerned. Me and Judah Larium are here to defend our right to the First Amendment. We're saying what's on our minds. And unless you sue us in a court of law, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. This is going to be 1 hour of the First Amendment.
That's horrible. Not the hour of the First Amendment.
No,
that's horrible that we even have to state that.
Yeah, you have to point it out. Because it's actually under attack.
Hey, I got a new idea. I know you like the punk rock logo that the White Riot show has. I know you like
that.
It's
awesome.
It's awesome. I was considering maybe doing a second logo.
With what kind of changes?
Well, okay, how about this? Me and you. Picture this, Judalarium. Me and you wearing a sexy ball gag, you know, like the one the Gimp had in...
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? Leather. Me and you in leather. Bound. Ball gags in mouth.
Anything that... like,
and on your forehead, we'll say... we'll write out the word first. And on my forehead, since it's bigger, we'll put down amendment. And we'll just stand next to each other holding the Constitution. Just going like... fuck you with middle fingers up in the air. That could be our new logo.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Isn't that awesome?
Can we use that picture of Biden and Obama doing a doggy style?
Allegedly.
Well, the internet is allegedly full of all kinds of alleged filthy. Oh, my God. How about a Google Earth, Matt, that zeroes in on my taint?
There you go. Can we see that from space?
You can see it running right here.
Bend over.
I'm a very accommodating judo expert.
Very limber.
Yes.
All right, Judo Lariam, enough.
Did you do all the pimping? Did you talk about Stitcher?
We got it all. And of course, if anyone has any doubt as to where they can hear us and find us, go to whiteriotshow.com, where, of course, you'll be able to get all the information on everything that I've pimped, not to mention all the latest episodes, plus all the archival episodes. Going back to episode number one, Judo Lariam, do you find yourself laughing at that first episode? Meaning that we compared to what the highly polished product you hear before you now.
Yes, now with Phil helping us and all that. Yes, back then it was somewhat amateurish. It was funny.
It was funny.
You can see when people really care. Yeah. I mean, you know,
you can definitely see that we've been improving the product along the way, and you could definitely see that we're improving. I think. Look, we're not too proud to say that. Yeah, we were a little rough when we started, but, you know, we're hopefully smoothing it out, continuing to be entertaining. And on that note, Judalarium, what's the hot topic of the week that you want to start off with?
The hot topic of the week is going to be what you're seeing right now, which is the new immigration reform.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to be seeing this a lot more now. It is bipartisan. They've got Marco Rubio from the Republican Party, the Florida senator,
right,
working on it with some Democrats.
But it seems to have bipartisan support, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it does. Because, look, something's got to be done. You've got 11 to 12 in that neighborhood million illegals in the country. You know, but Rubio made the points that I care about in particular. He talked about border security.
Right.
You know, he talked about having a visa tracking system, workplace enforcement. Because, you know, let's face it, a lot of companies, they hire these guys, they pay them like 10 cents an hour.
Sure.
You know, and like people can't get jobs as a result because these guys are here illegally. They'll do anything for whatever money. It's all off the books.
Plus, the minimum wage prevents Americans from getting that job. But anyway, that's a different argument.
That's a different thing. But this is what is going on. But the border security is important, too, because, you know, you're also dealing with an issue where, I mean, it's somewhat separate of it, but 90% of the drugs that come into this country, however you feel about that or whatever, you know, but 90% come through the Mexican border.
That's right.
So that means only 10% are coming from either Canada or through the air or through the Atlantic and the Pacific or any other way of getting it into the country, because the border is so porous.
Sure.
It's so porous. I mean, you know, they've got, like, every once in a while you see they got in some fences, they got this and that, but the border is so long. And there has to be some type of security on that. And we can't have liberals saying that it's racist.
Right.
That's what they always say. Right. I mean, there are some Democrats who are willing to go along with this. But for the most part, it's this usual narrative that it's just based on racial hatred, which is stupid.
Right.
I mean, like, look at the drugs coming over the border. Right. Look at the firearms, the munitions. It's $1 billion industry. Look at the sex slavery business. I spoke about it in the show one time before. I watched this whole thing about these poor girls being used as hookers back and forth over the border by criminal gangs.
Right.
Drugs, obviously. And, you know, there's like a whole network of tunnels under the U.S.-Mexican border. So, I mean, it's really a mess. So I'm glad Rubio brought up the border security because there's a lot of things going on. And kidnappings.
Right. And what else do we have as part of the immigration proposal? We've got border security. We've got visa tracking. What else we got?
Well, those were Rubio's points. Border security, visa tracking, and a workplace enforcement to make sure that illegals aren't getting jobs. Now, what Obama said today, which I have to admit, I'm a little surprised. I was happy.
Right.
But he talked about better enforcement of the current immigration laws. What that really means, we'll find out.
Right.
He said that there should be, for the 11 or 12 million that are here illegally, a way to provide a path to citizenship. He talked about reforming the current legal system to deal with the number of illegals.
Right.
And he talked about, and this is where it gets interesting. He talked about that all people who are here illegally, they have to have a background check.
Right.
They have to speak English, which Ooh. Is another one of my big to-dos. I used to belong to the English First.
Right,
thing.
Right.
They have to pay a penalty for what they've
done.
You know,
whatever that means.
They came here illegally. They got to pay a penalty. And then he said they have to be willing to go to the back of the line for people who have come here or are coming here illegally. And that you can't just skip ahead of them. It's cutting the line at the movies. Right.
Well, no. I philosophically agree with that. But then what does that mean? Do they get kicked out of the country while they move to the back of the line? Do they get detained? What happens?
No, they get to stay. They'll get like a resident alien status or something like that. But the point is, they're going to have to submit themselves to like background checks, so we know that they're not criminals or in gangs or something, or they're not drug mules.
Right.
They're going to have to they have to speak English, which I think is fantastic. I didn't think he would go along with that in a million years. Okay. So it's got stuff that conservatives are going to be happy about, but. The border security is a big one. You can't, what's the point of reforming all this? And what's the point of letting it having a path to citizenship if you're just going to continue to let people stream over the border like nothing?
Sure, I agree. And listen, there seems to be this almost popular notion that conservatives and libertarians really hate immigrants and that we don't want immigrants coming in and do this and do that, anti-immigration. No. We're anti-illegal aliens. And please, let's not confuse the two like some New York Times fucking writers. Do you know that, Judah Larry? They refuse to say illegal aliens. Yeah. What they'll say is immigrants.
Yeah, somebody wrote the other day, no human being is illegal.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
That's stupid.
Go fuck yourself. Okay. They're illegal aliens. That's what we're against. We're against illegal aliens.
Right. I have no problem with people coming here legally.
Yeah.
I mean, look, my stepfather's Japanese.
Right.
And just as a case in point.
Right.
But he's here legally.
And my parents were legal immigrants to this country as well. So, and there used to be standards for coming into this country to be an immigrant. You had to prove that you were employable. You had some sort of skill. You weren't a criminal. You could prove that you weren't a criminal. When my father came over, he had to prove you weren't a homosexual or a communist, because that was the 50s.
Oh, could they add that again?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Are you a fag or a commie? Out.
It's kind of redundant, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, the point was that you had to have standards to get in. Now, if you recall, in the late 80s, going back when we're talking about immigration, do you recall, and this is what I'm always afraid of, Judah Larriam, when they do this with immigration, is they set up wacky quota systems. So if you recall in the 80s, do you remember all those goofy Russian physicists that wanted to come to this country, like from their nuclear program after the Soviet Union went bankrupt?
We
kicked them out because they didn't fit the profile of immigrants that we wanted to bring into the country point.
That's really stupid.
Right? So we let all these like talented people in. Who grabbed all those guys? Libya, Iran, Iraq. And guess what they did?
They helped build their nuclear program.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's not like after World War II where we grabbed every fucking kraut we could find, scientists who built the VA rocket.
But the Russians got a lot of them, too.
No, but what I'm saying was, it's not like our policy said we're not letting white guys into the country, and therefore we're going to let these valuable scientific minds not show up. But anyway, so if we actually had an open and fair immigration policy for new immigrants that's not biased against anyone, that if you could just prove you have a skill, hey, welcome to America, land of opportunity, home of the brave and free and all that other jazz. That's the way it used to be. That's what made this country great. And I'm not against immigration. My parents were legal immigrants, and that's okay. I have nothing against any types of immigrants. But let's not make this let's not equate immigration with welfare.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm also not crazy about they have that thing about the anchor babies,
another excuse that gets,
you come here, you have a kid, and now you
can't. Well, the kid's a citizen because he was born in American soil.
Born here.
Yeah.
And then you can't get rid of the parents because, So, I mean, you know, look, there's a lot of work to be done here, but it's nice to see that they're actually working
together. And it's actually common sense. Yeah, it's common sense because we want people. We want to make this country again strong. Hey, you know, people don't think of these guys as being immigrants, but what about all these highly trained Indian workers that we outsource all that shit to? Well,
look, some of the cab drivers in this city are some of the best scientific minds you may know.
Yeah, but I meant like real. I mean, I know you're going for the joke, but I mean, how many of these? There used to be a. I forget who said it. I don't know if it was Bill Gates or someone else, but he said, if you cut out the visa program, the B-1 visa program, the U.S. would lose like 80% of its scientific lead in the world.
That's probably true.
Because our scientific, our heads of science right now and the people who are accomplishing shit scientifically are the jobs that we've outsourced or the students that we let into this country just to get their degrees.
Right.
So we have to find a way to entice these people to come settle here and become Americans and contribute to society. Not have them try to sneak over the border, or if you're a doctor in India, you get to sneak in here and be a cab driver.
Yeah.
That's not the point.
My only concern with the sneaking, and also, I mean, outside of that, it's illegal and you undocument the people you can't keep track of.
Right.
And, you know, you got to start wondering, like, how many more busboys do we need?
So that's good. I'm glad we have this agreement on immigration. And I mean, because I think it's one of those topics that doesn't get enough serious consideration. I mean, we're always talking about whether Arizona has the right to arrest illegal aliens in the streets and deport them or whatever.
But that's really the problem there that annoys me, that this has been going on for like decades, because the reality is, if they had some kind of comprehensive program back in the 80s and 90s, like before, you wouldn't even have to, what's going on in Arizona,
right,
it wouldn't even be happening.
Right.
In other words, if somebody was actually dealing with it, then these people on the state level wouldn't feel like, well, geez, we need to do something here.
Well,
there wouldn't be a need to do it.
Right. And let's face it. Now you need it because there's a political crisis. Let's be honest.
Well,
the Republicans need to win over Latino voters. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. They're very unpopular.
They're the major minority group.
Yeah.
That Republicans have a shot at capturing. Republicans are not capturing the black vote. In the next 100 years, period. They're not doing it. You might pick off 5%, but that's about it. Or like if you're someone, you know, who plays well to the black community, if you're a conservative, maybe 10%.
Yeah.
Latinos, though, on the other hand, have the potential to be very strong backers of the Republicans and of the conservative parties.
They could be.
I mean, if you think of the way the Cuban population, say, in Florida and Miami, how heavily Republican they were.
Yeah, but that's that. Yeah, the only problem with that is that's purely an anti-Castro thing.
No, I agree.
You know, that's just because they can't stand him.
No, I understand.
And look, now that he's old and he's frail and he's going to die any day, you're going to lose that now. You have to be able to speak to issues. Like, for instance, I was just reading something earlier today that Romney only got like 20% of the Hispanic vote.
Right.
He lost like 80 to 20.
No, I understand.
I mean, that's not going to change anytime. The Republicans are going to have to figure out how they're going to attract that. And look, you don't want to seem like, clearly the Latino community felt that the Republicans just didn't want them here.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, if you
but
come
that's what I'm saying. That's where the opportunity is. Because first of all, there's a lot of common values that conservatives and Republicans share with what is traditionally Latino.
Well, that's
a family structure.
The religious thing.
The religious thing. Absolutely.
Abortion. They tend not to like homosexuals. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things you can cash in on.
So why aren't we dragging these people into the fold?
Well, I can tell you right now. Well, the illegal, you know, the treatment of illegals and people like that, that's a big one.
Which hopefully someone like Rubio can champion. And help win some votes.
And with something which I would actually criticize them about, they don't seem to care very much, much like Blankfein, they don't seem to care very much about the debt and the national debt that Republicans talk quite a bit about.
Right.
I think we need to have a better understanding of our huge debt problem and how it's like drowning us. You know, we can't just keep spending money on programs and everything, you know. So people need to understand that that's actually a serious issue. But the Republicans talked about it, and the Latino community was like, eh.
Well,
I read the same article said they didn't really care much about that. And I was like, oops.
Right. But I agree with you. And I'm not saying it's a perfect fit. But I think of all those splinter minority groups here that Democrats seem to win without even batting an eyelash, I think the Latinos are the ones that can make a difference and that are really ripe to be taken over to the Republican column. Without a doubt.
There is an opportunity there. I mean, look, you have to realize historically, new groups have tend to be with the Democrats.
Of course.
Yeah. So it's because they tend to come across as like they care more about the little guy.
Sure, and they're the party of handouts. Which, if you're an immigrant to this country, chances are you're poor.
Yeah.
I mean, there are exceptions, but chances are you're poor or you're coming here for a reason, which means the country you're from sucks.
Yeah.
And you're getting away from some petty dictator half the time.
Yeah.
So there is an opportunity to show these people, give them the opportunity to say you can make anything of yourself in this country. This still is the land of opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And sell that. Sell that to the Latino community. I think there's such a fit here. Why do these people, meaning Latinos, and we joked in another show about like not all Latinos are alike and how, you know, don't make the mistake of inviting a Costa Rican and a Puerto Rican to the same dinner party. You know, that sort of thing. We joked about that because there seems to be these various divisions that can't get along.
Well, there's always intra-racial
things. Sure. But I think by and large, if you appeal to the Cubans, the Mexicans, and just every part of the Latino group, I think they can become very, very, I mean, at least competitive. For the Republicans, where they can get maybe 40-50% of
but
that
they,
vote,
they have to work at it though. Right now, they got a bad image.
Sure,
you know, right now they seem like an intolerant group that favors rich white guys. So they're gonna have to shed that.
Yeah,
no more running guys like Romney. I know they're all rich, but you're gonna have to find someone who isn't so obnoxiously.
You don't have to tell me. I told you.
I know.
Romney,
I voted for Gary Johnson.
Yeah, so Romney in the mouth. He was another Democrat. And I never liked.
I don't think he's a Democrat, but he was like a very just moderate Republican, and who cares?
Right.
You know. I mean, if you look at his positions, they weren't that of a Democrat. But I mean, some might be, but you could say that about almost anybody. I mean, even my views don't complete. I don't fall neatly into one category. I mean, I identify these days as libertarian because it's the most accurate.
Right.
So I mean, nobody's ever 100%.
Right.
But they've got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, I agree.
And they better do it quickly because it's becoming such a big part of the population. You just can't afford to piss off their votes.
Yeah. What's that? So I don't remember who said it, but I was reading some political pundit and. The quote that came to me and says, you can't just count on white guys to win you elections anymore.
Yeah. No, that's true.
And that's true.
That's true.
That's true. You can't just, even though there's still the biggest chunk of the racial group, I think, in this country, still the Caucasians.
Oh, yeah.
But it's quickly dwindling. And so many of them have white man's guilt that they'll vote for the minority candidate to make up for some alleged or perceived sins in the past.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not even like all white guys vote together. I know that's what minorities think, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
Let's face it, Obama could not be president right now. We would not have a black president if it wasn't for a significant amount of white people
voting for him,
who decided to vote for him. So, by the way, Drew Larriam, I told you this in 2008. I'll repeat it again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear that we've gotten nowhere on racism in this country.
Oh, please.
When I've got a black president who was put in office largely by white people, I don't want to hear that there's institutional racism in this country anymore.
Yeah, well, that's an old thing with the left. They see bigots under every stone.
Sure.
So, what can you do?
Yeah. No, you're right.
You're gonna continue to hear it because that's one of their favorite tunes.
And they never change because it doesn't necessarily fit their agenda, right? It's sort of like, hey, if we take away the racism angle, we might be forced to admit that there's people who are just not accountable for anything.
Yeah,
and they're not responsible for their own actions.
Well, look, I usually say it as like a joke, but look, quite honestly, if you watch those shows that are just appalling, like Springer and Maury Povich, and you watch the people who are on the show, look, these people live somewhere in the country. I mean, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
I mean, between the people in the show, the people in the audience,
right.
And the fact that these shows are on the air years after years, which means the ratings are good. I mean, it's appalling. You look at these knuckleheads. I mean, this is a problem.
Right.
You know, the problem I always have with the left is their answer to problems are, well, people like Donald Trump are the problem.
Right. Right.
Romney, like rich white guys, I'm like, they're not the problem. I mean, no. You might not like them personally. Like even Trump, I think sometimes is a knucklehead.
He's an asshole. Let's face it.
But you know what? All right, he's not the problem. I mean, he's a man who has created numerous business ventures. He's been in bankruptcy a couple of times, but he's a man who's created jobs, and he's not the problem. You watch the people in these dopey shows; they're the fucking problem.
Yeah,
illegitimate kids. They don't care. people take drugs, people sleep with whoever, and they're slobs. And they're the problem.
Yeah, the problem is also that people are more and more looking to government to be their savior, to provide all the answers for them, and to make sure that they're happy. Yeah. Who the fuck has a guarantee to happiness, Judah Larry? And when did this become suddenly in vogue? I don't understand. I know I have the right to pursue happiness in this country.
Right.
I know I have the right to the opportunity to be happy in this country.
Yeah.
But do I have a right to be happy from the moment I slide out of my mama's womb?
No, but that's what they want.
Of course that's what they want.
That's the whole concept.
And it's part of what's fucking up the country.
That's what they want with the nanny state. They want you to be taken care of, cradle to grave.
Right.
Boom. And that's it.
I don't have to worry. No one should upset me. No one should be mean to me. No one should be bullying me. Go fuck yourself. Learn how to be a man.
Yeah.
And by man, I could also mean chicks in this Judalarian. You know what I'm saying.
No, I know what you mean.
Be a mensch. Be a mensch for all my Yiddish friends out there. Be a mensch.
No, I know what you mean. It is really incredibly annoying that people are that soft.
And that entitled.
Yeah, they're entitled to everything. It's depressing. But I've told you about this.
We talk about it all the time. This is bullshit.
The country is definitely trending that way. It's definitely trending.
We're there, brother.
No, we're not there yet.
We're there.
No, we're not. We're not there, but we're getting there.
I challenge you, people under 30, don't look at our generation. Look at kids under 30 and tell me they're not already entitled.
Well, they may feel it, but it's getting worse. I don't think we're there yet, but it's getting there. Look, even the stupid Occupy Wall Street, it was all these like dopey kids who are out of work complaining about their tuition bills.
But why are they out of work?
And to show what losers they are, a lot of them, the moment they found the job, they just booked. They're like, oh, yeah, I don't really believe in this shit. Like, thanks, I got a job now.
Or the moment mommy and daddy stopped paying for them to be out on Wall Street and stopped paying their cell phone bills and stopped paying buying them iPads and buying them those really warm tents that they used to sleep out on the sidewalk, man, because it was cold. Let's rough it. Go fuck yourself. Stop being so goddamn entitled.
Yep.
This is bullshit.
But it's only getting worse. I mean, it's my only thing. It's the only thing I see in them. I don't see I work with some young kids in my jobs, and I meet them, and I can see that some of them are very determined. They have like an entrepreneurial spirit, but the ones who seem to just want to be taken care of just seem to outnumber them now.
It's so much easier. Why should I work hard if someone else will? It's just one of those things. It's natural human tendencies. If you see someone busting their balls for you and you get roughly the same benefit whether you work or not, why the fuck would you work?
Yeah. It's depressing, though.
It's depressing. I see it all the time. It's fucking depressing. I told you, the first, whenever someone comes to me and asks for a job, the one surefire way to get me to never hire you and never recommend you or do any of that is to come across like some Tony Robbins positive thinking motherfucker.
Why?
Because in my experience, those are the people who never actually do anything.
Yeah.
They actually just talk about doing stuff.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And they'll always have a smile on their face and they'll be peppy. And they'll always have the, you know, look on the bright side of life.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah. Like no, that? I don't like you singing.
No.
But I like the Monty Python reference.
But it's a Monty Python, right? Meaning of life. Yeah.
But
the point is that anybody who comes up to me and starts talking about, oh, isn't it lovely? And I don't care if it's a religious angle, a positivity angle.
Yeah, I know.
It's like if they just preach
New Age,
to you, like,
whatever. It's just,
hey, brother, think positively. Everything will pick up. No, you know when things will pick up? When you get off your ass and you do something about it. I'd rather have 10 miserable pricks who know what they're doing and are motivated to actually go do it than have 1,000 positive-looking outlook motherfuckers who just sit there and just say, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all got along?
I mean, but you are distinguishing between people who are like optimists and the people who are just like silly.
No, optimism is a great is actually a great trait.
Right.
There's a difference between optimism and what is really this new age approach almost, which is that, what is it, The Secret, that bullshit book or whatever, The Secret, that if you learn how to look at the positive things in life, then positive things will happen to you. And it kind of fosters this concept among idiots that all they have to do is think positively and good things will happen to them.
Yeah, well,
like some sort of fucking magic.
Look, I don't mind. Personally, I don't mind if people have a positive outlook on life.
Right.
But if you think that just good things are going to happen, you're just sitting there just because you have a positive outlook, that's naive.
Well, it's like the same people who think that if they believe in Jesus, that's all they have to do.
Yeah. That's,
or they believe in Allah, that's all they have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you call it is almost irrelevant. It's the constant just waiting around for something good to happen instead of going out and making it happen.
Making it happen, right.
Go work towards your happiness, for God's sake. And I don't care what work it is. I'm not saying you have to do physical labor. I'm not saying you have to dig ditches.
No, but you can't just sit there and wait for it to fall into your lap.
If you're a screenwriter, you got to write 100 screenplays before someone will look at it.
Right.
If you're a singer, write 1,000 songs before one hits.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And how many of these kids are...
If you're a writer, write 20 novels.
And how many of these kids now are willing to struggle?
None of them. None of them.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what it is? The world is there for the taking for the few that still do want to struggle, and the few that do put in their dues, and the few that understand that you get experience as you go along, and you learn from your mistakes, you learn from doing. Failure is just as important as success. You learn from your failures. You very rarely learn from your success. Because you were successful already.
Right, and you tend to take it for granted.
Exactly. But if you fail a couple of times, if you get kicked in the nuts by life, and you have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps,
you tend to be more appreciative when it happens, and you're a better person because you're a tougher person. You know now what it takes to succeed. And look, you got kicked in the ass a few times, so what?
Yeah, we all have. Well, us old school farts have. Maybe you young whippersnappers out there. Can you believe I just used the word whippersnapper?
Oh, come on. You're not that old. That's really... That is something else.
But seriously, here's the line Big Fat John has used since he was 19 years old. Judah Lariam, you know. I've told you this before. But the only helping hand you'll need in life is at the end of your own arm.
Yeah.
How do you like that for positive thinking and motivation? The only helping hand you ever need is at the end of your own fucking arm.
Especially your right hand.
Yeah. Which could be used for jerking off.
Exactly.
And the other one could be used for fingering your booty hole. That's very talented if you could do both at the same time, Judah.
And work in the taint.
There you go.
There you go. And on that note.
All right. Enough about immigration and entrepreneurship and get up and go. Judah Lariam, what's next on the topic list for tonight?
Well, there's been a lot of changes in your old organization.
What's that?
You were a Boy Scout, right?
Yes, I was an Eagle Scout, I may add.
Yep. I was only a Cub Scout in my...
Fag.
Well, now you're with me. Because your beloved Boy Scouts are now allowing gay guys just to...
You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah, they're in.
They don't have the ban on homosexual members anymore?
No, that is gone, or it's about to be gone. And because of that, they're going to let them be like scout leaders.
For years, I know there were a lot of groups pressuring them to do it, but legally there was nothing that could happen because they were a private organization. They don't accept money from the government.
From the government, right.
So they could set, you know, I guess there were a couple of court rulings that says they can set their own membership rules.
Right.
So I guess this is just voluntary. They've decided it's time to get with the times. And then how do you feel about that? Positive, negative?
Well, this will disappoint you, but I'm fine with it.
Why would it disappoint me?
Because you're not a person who's pro gay rights.
No. I'm pro anyone being free to do what they want, as long as they don't hurt anyone else.
You know what the real problem is? You've got an issue with that the, you know, in the past, the idea has been, well, you know, if we let gay guys in, like, they'll be around children.
Right,
boys,
pedophiles,
look, that's really kind of unfair because, look, whatever the percentage of these guys who are out there, look, they're sick in the head, you know, I always say, like, whenever I've lived in the city my whole life, if I see two guys together and, like, they kiss them, like, I don't get it.
Right.
You know, but on the other hand, I don't hate them.
Do you get a rod?
I don't, well, sometimes I get wood, but but I don't get it. I'll even put that out there. But you know what? I don't hate them. I'm not intolerant.
Right.
They're adults. They're American citizens. If this is what they want to do, they want to live with whoever. That's it's none of my business.
You just
said
the perfect line. They're American citizens. As Americans, it's their right to do what they want. So I have no problem with it. They wanted to, I've never been against gay men or gay women. I haven't been against homosexuality. What I've always been against is that when it became politicized, that it has to be taught that it's quote unquote normal.
Oh, that
kids need to be exposed to it necessarily.
Yeah, or I would actually agree with you on that. I don't believe in targeting other people's children.
Right.
You know, but look, if you get to be an adult and this is what you want to do, fine.
Have fun.
You know, I mean, it's like the same attitude I take towards guns. Like, if this is something you want to do, then
as long as you're not bothering anybody else. Yeah. First commandment of libertarianism, as long as you don't fuck with anybody else's rights, go ahead.
Exactly. As long as you're not harming or doing anything wrong to other people, why would I object to anything in a free society that you have decided to do? This is what you want to do? Go do it. But as part of the changes...
What's happened?
They've added a lot of new merit badges.
You mean specifically in anticipation of having...
Of course.
Of admitting gay members for the first time?
Of course. And you have to.
Okay. I guess. Do you have any idea what those are? Did it say?
There's an interesting list here. I'll read them off.
Sure,
since you're the former boy.
I used to be an Eagle Scout. Yeah, I had a lot of merit badges. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first one is just the soccer sucks merit badge.
Oh, really? The soccer sucks merit badge?
Soccer sucks. I'm okay with that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm okay with it. And you know what's great about it? It's self-explanatory.
Oh, there you go. The soccer sucks merit badge.
Soccer sucks merit badge.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can get behind that. I'm not a big fan of soccer, so I can get behind that.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't have that when I was in the Boy Scouts, but I think I would have enjoyed that one had I been there.
Yeah, well, back when, let's face it, John, you're old enough that back in those days, soccer was non-existent in this country.
You used
to hear stories about Pele, and that was about it.
That's true.
Okay, the next award is the Bono Merit Badge.
The Bono? What's that?
It is for all the boys who have been brave enough to join the Girl Scouts.
Are you kidding me? The Chaz Bono badge?
The Chaz Bono Merit Badge.
Oh,
where have you been?
Seriously?
Yeah, that's it.
They're going to give that out for kids that defected to the Girl Scouts?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Okay, what's the next one?
You're okay with that one?
I guess so.
Okay, the next one is the Don't Ask, Don't Tell badge.
Really? What does this one involve?
This is for the scout who keeps the most secrets.
Come on, that's horrible. We're talking about children here, Judo Larry M.
It's true. I'm reading it.
Oh.
All right. The next merit badge is the first fisting merit badge.
The what?
First fisting merit badge.
I'm almost afraid to ask, how would you earn the first fisting badge?
That's when you graduate from the Cub Scouts to the Boy Scouts.
Oh, no. All right. I can't get that image out of my head right now. Please go to the next one so I can get that image out of my head.
The next one is the teabagging merit badge.
Oh, is that where young kids are encouraged to join the Tea Party? Do they get that for joining the Tea Party?
This is a new emphasis on people who've had the most balls across their nose.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Balls across the nose?
Teabagging, yeah.
Oh, no. I don't like the direction this is going in.
I don't know why.
Oh.
These are perfectly legitimate awards.
I guess. What's up next?
The next one is the Beatty Merit Badge.
The what?
The Beatty Merit Badge.
How, pray tell, would you earn the Beatty Badge?
This is based on the most squealing while out on a camping trip.
Oh. Do you mean the Ned Beatty?
Ned Beatty.
Oh, my goodness. Squealing like a pig while camping badge? That's horrible.
Are you objecting to one of the finest American movies ever? Oh,
jeez. We're talking about 12-year-olds, for God's sake.
Yes, we are.
Oh, no.
And the next one is NAMBLA Merit Badge.
Oh, Jesus. What's that one?
That's for keeping men over 50 happy.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez. My goodness. This is horrible.
This is one of the greatest things of all time. And the HIV positive award.
The what? The what?
The HIV.
The HIV?
The HIV positive award. That's what they're calling it.
Yeah? How do you earn that award?
This is for the most positive attitude in the face of AIDS.
Oh, no. Jesus. Oh, God, Larry. Do you know how many letters I'm going to get from listeners now about this? You're killing me.
Look, this is what's going on. This is the society you live in. Love it. Love it.
And we think it's a good thing, right?
Oh, of course. And especially this next one, the sausage in the can badge.
Oh, no, no. Please tell me that has something to do with Vienna sausage.
No.
No?
Silly boy.
Oh.
This is one of your favorite things. No. You're Greek.
No, stop it.
Figure it out.
Okay. All right, I don't want to.
And last but not least.
Oh, we're coming to the end. Thank God.
Yeah, yeah, here we go. No, no, there's this is a good one. You're going to like the Anderson Cooper 360 merit badge.
No, listen. I don't need any lawsuits, please. Please. I don't need any lawsuits, Judo Lariam.
Okay.
So, please. Oh, God. What's this badge for?
Journalism.
Oh, that's okay, I guess. We could say that. I may not even have to bleep that out, then. That's the Anderson Cooper 360 badge?
That's journalism? That's all 360 of it.
Wow. Yeah. All right. That's not bad. That's okay, then. Wow, I didn't know they had all these new badges just because they're letting in... gay scouts now, potentially.
Are you thinking of rejoining?
I'm thinking of becoming a scoutmaster right now. That's right. And I'm bringing along some Emil Poppers
and
some techno music from Germany.
Do you still have your silly outfit from when you were a kid?
You know, I think my mom may have it in her basement somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Dude, I was like one of the nerdiest fucking kids you ever seen in your life. I was an Eagle Scout. With crossed palms, which means I went above and beyond all the dopey merit badges I had to get. My father was into it. He really enjoyed it, you know, that I was in the Boy Scouts. Which, being a Boy Scout in the Bronx, New York, is not the safest of things to do.
I was going to say, what does that count for?
Yeah, well, if you ask those guys back then, they were already gay guys in the Scouts because they kept calling me a faggot for running around in the Boy Scouts when I was 15.
Yeah, I was in the aforementioned Cub Scouts briefly that you didn't like.
So, yeah.
But
did you teabag your way out of it or what?
I worked enough taints to work. I got to tell you, though, I guess somewhat like yourself.
Right.
I finished the Cub badge, the Wolf badge, and the Bear badge before everybody else had done, like, the Cub badge.
Right.
And my mother had to sew all this crap onto my uniform.
Right.
And, you know, and I mean, I have an old photo of it somewhere, and I look like some third world generalissimo with, like, a million different awards. I'm not kidding. The whole left side of my, like, you did the Cub badge, it was, like, all silver and these little arrows.
Right.
And there was a badge with, like a cub on it.
Right.
And then their wolf was red. And down. And then the Bear badge was like green and down. And and then you got something on top of it that proved you did like all three books. And I had that. And I had to stand there with my three fingers like on my hand. I have a photo of it. So it's retarded looking.
Which, by the way, you could also use for baby fisting. The three fingers, I believe.
Well, there's an award for that. So you've already adjusted to them.
I've adjusted to the idea of gay scouting already.
That's great.
Now, wouldn't they have been better off all these years establishing their own private gay scout? Hey, boys, we're going camping.
You could, because you got fudge, Hershey chocolate kisses. But you know what the problem is? You get into that, like you're like entertaining separate but equal. And nobody wants to do that. Everybody just wants it to be one big mishmash.
I mean, it started off as a joke here, and I know we're probably going to get every gay guy in the country calling in or sending us hate mail. But is really that concept wrong in this case? Because if it's a private entity, how else would you allow? You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's been established you can't force a private entity to do what you want. No matter how much pressure the gay groups put on the Boy Scouts or how many court battles they had, they couldn't make the Boy Scouts accept, say, gay scoutmasters or promote gay values, whatever those fucking are. So what would be wrong with saying, here's the gay Boy Scouts of America? Why wouldn't you pursue that? If you were a gay rights advocacy group, why wouldn't you start 20, 30 years ago starting out with the gay Boy Scouts of America? And there may already be that group. I just haven't heard of them. But, I mean, what's wrong with that? I don't necessarily find that as being
there is a
bad.
It's called the ACLU.
Fuck the ACLU.
Conceptually,
what would be wrong
I'll tell you exactly. Because it's separate. And they'll argue that that's not what they want. They just want it to be all one inclusive thing and everyone's equal and respected.
But if the law says you can't force that private group to integrate you,
okay,
why wouldn't you just start out your own group?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just my personality, Judo Lariam, but you know me. When we couldn't get our own radio show, what did we do? We started our own radio station. We started podcasting. Yeah. We were among the first.
Right.
Now I want to do a TV show. I can't get a network to get our the White Riot show on TV. What are we doing? We're starting our own TV network. Oh, I hope I didn't let the cat out of the bag. But that's what we're doing. Because when people tell me I can't do something, my attitude is I'll prove you fucking wrong and right. I'll do it. I'll do it myself if I have to. If it means that much to me, I'll do it myself.
Right.
So is that just me? Is it just my mentality here?
In fact, the 11th award was the cat in the scrotum bag. So you just let the cat out of the scrotum bag, you big Greek guy.
No, but I mean, seriously, why is that such a lost art right now? Again, it speaks to that entitlement that, no, we want in on your group.
Right.
Whatever that fucking group is.
Yeah.
Now, again, if it's a government entity, as much as I hate the government doing this shit, I have to admit, if the government is sponsoring a group, it should be open to every citizen.
Yeah.
It should be open to anybody who meets any requirements, whatever. That's right. Fine. I have no problem with that. But if you're talking about private organizations, if you can't convince them through the bully pulpit or through protest or whatever the fuck it is, then why wouldn't you just say, okay, Boy Scouts of America, we're starting the Gay Scouts of America, the GSA.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, you could, but I just think my take on it would be I think that the idea that it's separate from it just I think it just rubs people the wrong way. Well, just like you don't see anything wrong with it, I think they see everything wrong with it.
Right, because I understand where you're coming from because it's almost like the racial angle. Right?
Exactly.
Right, but again, that speaks to, well, it's a deeper issue. I mean, is gayness like learned? Born, because the thing with race is you say, well, I'm born the race I'm born and I can't change it.
Yeah.
I don't know if homosexuality falls into that group, to be honest with you. I know there's a lot of passion on both sides of it, but to me the strongest argument has always been I'm a fucking American, it's my right to do what I want, therefore I'm doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's always been the case. You know, because I think if you say I'm born a certain way, society has a right to say, well, if we think this is antisocial, we don't want... Like, right? If someone has herpes, nobody has a problem, or an STD, nobody has a problem with the health department saying, guess what? You can't just go willy-nilly fucking everybody raw.
Yeah.
We have a right as a society to say, you were born a certain way, or you have a certain disease, we don't need you running around.
Right.
We do it for whatever, right?
Right.
Or we'll make you better, it's a disease we can cure. I've never understood that with the gay community. Why would you claim that it's something you're born with?
What, being homosexual?
Yeah.
Well, because they are born gay.
I don't know if I...
I know that. You don't believe that, John. But you think people just up and one day just, I'm going to start having sex with the same gender? That's ridiculous.
Well...
Could you do that?
No.
Well...
But here's my thing. People have... Well, there's been plenty of... First of all...
Look, I knew a couple of kids
women.
Growing up, and they were different than, like, the other straight kids, and they grew up to be gay. I mean, they just were. I mean, you could sense it.
Kids that...
Were
growing up,
we
always called them faggy without even knowing that there was a sexual component to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We called them faggy because, like you said, they were effeminate.
Yeah.
They didn't want to play sports. They hated baseball or football. They would rather go to the ballet or whatever.
Whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
Or do gymnastics. That was the other thing. If you saw dudes doing gymnastics, you would call them faggy, right?
Yeah.
But at least me, when I was 10, 12, when I heard that word, images of guys having anal sex didn't pop into my head.
No, back in the 70s.
It just meant effeminate.
But back in the 70s, there was no actual expectation that you were homosexual. It was just a form of taunting.
Exactly.
It was on the same level of like you throw like a girl. Like,
Exactly.
But I'm glad that they have all these new badges, and I'm going to get you a few and make you wear them on the show with your ball gag and the First Amendment. The First Amendment. A couple of illegal aliens standing behind you.
Oh my goodness!
Bringing your salad.
Oh, you're wrapping it up, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, there's one more thing we could talk about.
Okay.
I want you to give me props. Who predicted the teams in the Super Bowl?
Big Fat John.
There you go.
Nailed it. He called the 49ers and the Ravens. I thought it would be the 49ers and the Patriots.
That's right.
I don't know what happened to the Patriots. They played like poop in that game. But
bow before me, bitch. My football prowess.
No. Not unless you pick the winning team in the Super Bowl.
All right.
I'm picking the 49ers.
I'm going to go Ravens.
They're going to win?
Yeah.
Outright, they're going to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I think. My mind logically tells me to take the 49ers.
The team in with other words, better defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. But
the Ravens have some kind of weird thing going on.
They've got a
Ray
weird
Lewis
thing going on. And you know what it is? They remind me of the Giants last year. Mm. In the sense that a lot of their... So if you look at the Ravens' defense, the way it ranks year to date, it's not that good.
Yeah.
People are thinking of the old Ravens. This year's Ravens were very middle of the road.
Not at all.
But what's happening to them is what happened to the Giants last year.
They got
a lot of key players back. Terrell Suggs is back.
Yeah.
And it took him a couple of games to get into playing shape. But if you look what he's done in the playoffs, he's got like 16 tackles.
Yeah.
He's got two or three sacks. Ray Lewis has been playing like a madman in the playoffs. Like he's healed. Which means if those two guys are playing well, the defensive line is playing better. Paul Kruger and those guys are playing better.
Yeah.
So I think the defense of the Ravens that you see playing now bears very little resemblance to the defense that was middle of the road the whole season. So I think when you take that into account, the defensive edge, and I still think the Niners are the better defensive team, I just think that edge isn't as great anymore.
Mm.
And then, you know, now you have the offense. And then who's got the better running game? Well, I tend to go with Ray Rice over Frank Gore, personally.
I think it's negligible.
But then you've got Kaepernick, who's better than Flacco, running the ball. But Flacco's got the better arm, I think. I think he's the better quarterback from the pocket.
The thing is, he's wanted to throw downfield a lot, and I don't think he's going to be able to do that so much against the 49ers.
I think that's going to be the great challenge. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
If he can get deep on them once or twice, I think... You know, I think that'll work out in their favor.
Yeah. So, but I'm picking the 49ers. I'm thinking.
What's the line? Do you know?
Right now it's 3.5.
3.5.
But I'm thinking that the 49ers are going to win like 28-23.
See, I'm going to say that the Ravens are probably going to win by a field goal.
I can see it. I mean, it's not beyond the pale.
Yeah. It's going to be, I hope it lives up to what we think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a great game either way. I think it's going to be very tight. If you look at the way the Niners have won their playoff games, it's been, you know, they barely beat the Falcons.
Yeah, but they were on the road.
Yeah.
And the Falcons got off. Yeah, but the, you know, the Falcons got off to a fake lead. They got into a big game, and then, you know, the 49ers just stayed with it.
Yes.
And they played their game, and they wound up pulling it out.
Yeah. Seahawks almost did it to the Falcons, too.
Yeah,
same
they should have
been.
Yeah.
And then the Ravens really, like you said, put a kibosh on the Patriots, which was stunning to me. I thought it was going to be another close game, but they really, after the second half started, they really just took that game over, which is fantastic.
Yeah, but the Patriots didn't play well. That's part of it. Like, Welker dropped, like, two passes that I remember, and they just...
How much did it make you happy to watch Bill Belichick be a bitch?
He's
a little bitch.
Douchebag.
Little miserable bitch.
He didn't do the interview.
No, he left. He left.
He would have showed up if they won.
Oh, of course he did. Would have rather. And then, of course, you had Brady being a little crybaby bitch on every play, complaining and, like, throwing
his arms
out.
He kicked that guy in the sack, though.
Kicked Ed Reed right in the balls. That was, like...
That was hilarious.
I think he did it on purpose.
I don't know. I've seen it a couple of times.
He did it to protect himself, but it was still...
I think it was a deliberate move.
Yeah.
In other words, to protect his body from this body coming at him.
Right.
But I think he also realized a good kick in the nads would set Ed Reed out, you know. No, I'm picking the 49ers, and I think by 4 or 5
points. What are you doing for the Super Bowl? Are we hanging out for the Super Bowl?
Yeah. You come over. We'll
come over to the judo apartment, to the dojo?
To the dojo.
Yeah, beat you to it. Can I hang out? You gonna have any bitches around? Big Fat John's a married man. I can only look at. I can't touch.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
You got something nice for me?
Do anything? What are you talking shit for?
Want to bounce a little? You got something bouncy in my face while I'm watching the game?
Halftime entertainment. I'll make sure you have some porn. That's your bouncy married guy. Who told you to get fucking married? Goof. Jesus.
I live vicariously through Judah Lariam people.
So
if you get blown during the game, that's good enough for me. As long as I'm not doing it, though.
No, you can watch.
I'm not earning that merit badge, whatever that merit badge was. The don't Namblo award.
Oh, you're getting the Anderson Cooper award.
For what?
For journalism.
Oh, okay, that's fair enough.
Allegedly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's getting to be that part of the show where things are getting a little drawn out. We're getting a little punch drunk right now. For Judo Larry M. This is Big Fat John asking you all to join us again next week.
Peace.
Biatch.
Join us every week at www.whiteriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. I've been drinking heavily. Wow.